Here's a dance you should know. When the lights are down low, grab your baby then go. I do the huckabuck, I do the huckabuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you're out of luck. Push your baby out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Hey, not now. Bet and Steny will tell you when. Hey, girls, start talking.
Hello.
Hello, people of Earth.
People of Earth. Welcome to the Hucklebug. I am Steny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Steny. It's episode 737 of the Hucklebug, which is a model of Boeing aircraft. 737.
Not only that, it's a palindrome.
It's also a palindrome.
But I was wondering if you knew your credence.
I know some credence.
737 coming out of the sky.
Out of the sky.
Won't you take me on to Memphis on a
midnight ride.
Yeah.
Yep, I do remember
which
that.
Which is the Boeing aircraft, so... You picked it first.
I had it.
You won, Stens.
Which song is that?
A traveling band.
Traveling band, that's it. All right, well, we're going to start the show with some rips this week.
Yeah,
a couple of rips.
Sadly.
You know, we missed the Pope. My apologies. We did not deliberately snub the Pope when he died. I'm all like, no rips this week. We just overlooked it, so my apologies. Yeah. I mean, you know,
but we got a new Pope, and who could believe it? Who
Chicago
could believe we have an American Pope?
An American Pope, baby. We've made it to the big time.
And speaking of popes, somebody posted a Colbert clip.
Uh-huh.
Don Novello, Guido Sardegna.
Father Guido Sardegna.
I thought he died... Like no, 20 years ago.
No, he's still around.
You know, the entire time that the conclave has been getting together, I know the girls at work are so sick of me doing a finding a pope in the piece. Because, you know, one of the front runners was Italian.
Pope Pizzaballa.
Pizzaballa.
I know, I love it. Pope Pizzaballa.
That's the perfect pope.
We were all pulling for Pope Pizzaballa. You know, truthfully, Bet and I are not particularly popey people.
We're not popey people.
But Pope Francis was, you know, one of the better popes.
Well, exactly. You know, if the world needs a spiritual leader, Francis was a good one. And our new guy is supposed to be kind of following in the footsteps.
Yep.
You know, there was one really conservative guy who was up for the job. So.
Well, His message, which I just saw a bit of on Facebook, but he said something about being woke when everybody else chooses to be asleep. And I fucking love that because I wish more people would point that out when people complain about wokeness.
Woke. Yeah.
I would rather be woke than asleep.
Yeah.
So anyway, rest in peace to the Pope. We're sorry we missed you last time. But also, more recently, Jill Sobule passed away.
Oh,
boy,
man,
that made me very sad.
So sad.
I'm a fan. I can't call myself a big fan, but I'm quite endeared to her music. And you know, I discovered her during the Napster days, and
yes.
I think she was recommended to me, and I think it must have been Eric. I think it must have been Scooter Moonpie.
Moonpie.
Who recommended her, because I know it wasn't you and it wasn't Mike. So by process of elimination, it must have been Eric. But I obviously she had a couple of hits. She had
I Kissed a Girl, which is not the Katy Perry version.
Hers
was so sweet and innocent and lovely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
very nice.
One thing
and
I will say, I know probably less about her than you do, but that she discovered Robert Earl Keane's Merry Christmas from the Family.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved her cover of that song. Loved
it. Warms my heart to no end.
I post it every Christmas Eve, and I will continue to do so. Rest in peace, Jill Sobule. Gone too soon. She died in a house fire, you guys.
And
that's so sad and horrible.
So sad.
Very sad. Rest in peace, Jill. Thank you for the music.
And a year younger than me. She was 64, I think.
Yeah, she's still out there touring and
doing
stuff, you know.
Doing stuff.
Yeah. We also lost Ruth Buzzy, comedy giant.
Giant from Laugh-In.
Yep. I kind of don't really remember her much. I do remember her, but I'm not as familiar with her.
The Monday night staple in our house.
Yep. Yep.
Why my parents loved this show so much. It's beyond me because, you know, it was out there and they were. Yeah. But, you know.
That's true. It was a bit hippie for them.
But, you know, there were the cute girls. There was Goldie Hawn and, you know, that.
Yep.
Judy Carne, who danced in bikinis.
Yes.
But there was Joanne Worley and Ruth mm-hmm. Buzzy. And yeah. they were the plain girls, but they yes. did the funniest
They
stuff.
Were the comedy girls, yeah.
Ruth, of course, was Gladys Hornby, the old woman.
That was the brown overcoat and hair. Yeah,
always beat up Artie Johnson when he tried
with
to come
her purse.
On to
whap, whap, yeah. whap.
But she would do, I mean, she could sing and dance. But she would do musical numbers that were, you know, of course, they were written with different lyrics that would just crack right. you up.
Right.
And I've seen her on game shows. Personality. Yep. I'm sorry. This happens to us, Stens. I didn't know she was still around. Because apparently she had, you know, gone into retirement.
Yeah.
But she was still with us And now she's gone.
Not.
But you gave me a lot of laughs, Ruth.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Ruth Buzzy, as well. And thank you for all of the laughs and so forth. Now let's do some shout-outs, shall we?
Roar.
Roar. We'll begin on .com. We have a shout-out for Tina.
Stand in the place where you live.
Now leave us a comment.
And Tina says... Well, hello again. Hello. Another week gone in a flash. I am very slowly improving. Thank the Lord. It's Chloe's wedding is 3 weeks away.
That You're gonna
means
make
it's
it.
Like now right upon us.
Yes.
We were gone.
Heck yeah.
And she says, oh, Lord love you, Tina. Bet I remember your mom and dad buying that big portrait of John Wayne for my mom and you telling me at the time. It meant so much that they thought of her to buy it, but sorry, they were stuck with it. It was there till the bitter end.
I bet they loved it.
Like you both, even despite Shane McGowan's voice, I loved him. Do you know he was actually a plastic patty like my husband as he was born in Kent in the UK? I actually did know that. He was not. As much as he claimed Irishness, he was
well, sure.
born
and with
in
a name
UK.
Like Shane McGowan.
Exactly.
As Irish as it comes, eh? I did not know.
I didn't know they were called plastic patties.
I didn't know that either, and I love that. That's great. Plastic patty. I love it.
I could actually call my sister because she's a McCoy.
Patty. Oh, yeah.
And she thinks of herself as Irish.
She's
I could call her
plastic.
A plastic patty.
She's a very plastic patty.
Or I guess, would that be a plastic Colleen?
Oh, that's a good question. Is it a plastic Colleen? Let us know. Let us know, Tina. Tina goes on to say, Stens, you were talking about your friend never seeing Schindler's List. I kind of get that. Not the happiest of films, although I loved it. And on my recent visit to Krakow, we went in a brief trip and saw the Schindler Factory. Mm. It is now a museum, but we did not have time to go in it. Yeah. I think the reason that she didn't want to see Schindler, she knew it was going to be, I mean, obviously she knew because it's about the Holocaust and stuff. Yes. So she knew it was going to be difficult. But the
and
main
they were,
reason.
They were there for fun. They, you know.
Yeah. Oh, sure. But the main reason she didn't see the movie is because people kept telling her she had to. She was like, well, I don't have to do anything, and decided, no, I'm not going to see it now, just for that. She goes on to say, Bette knows my love for old American cars, and my brother-in-law in the 80s had so many. Lincoln LTDs, big old station wagons, and even an old police car at one point. Ooh, like the Bluesmobile. We often say if he had them now, he would be rich. He probably would. Chloe loved Wicked. I'm going to assume this is loved Wicked, not lived Wicked. I hope she didn't live Wicked. Chloe loved Wicked, but not got around to watching it myself yet.
Yeah. Well, take your time, Tina. You got plenty of time for that.
Per Bet and myself, you may skip it if you like. Just listen to the cast album. Have a good week, Tina X. Thanks, Tina.
Thank you.
Woo. Woo. And now we're going to duck over here to Facebook, where we've got just a couple of quickie comments.
On the episode?
On the episode. First one's for Sierra. Siskita, we need you so. That was terrible. Sorry, Siskita.
Well, I tried to go up to where you were.
But... I know. I'm sorry. We just didn't choose the same key this week. It's okay.
She says, thought of you. And here's a man wearing a jacket that I need so much that says, fuck you, you fucking fuck.
I love it. I love it. And there's if you click on it and look at it enlarged, there's a black cat in the middle of it flipping
you.
That's great. That's fucking great. I just noticed that. Yeah, you got to make it big to see that.
Stan says you all know the story of the mints. That
there might be people out there who don't, though. Maybe Tina doesn't know. Yeah, the mints
that my sis, well, I found them online. And when I showed them to my sis, she said, we got to buy these. We bought a box of them. And they're little mints in a little plastic, bag.
Yeah.
The one mint to a bag. And the bag says, fuck you, you fucking fuck.
Yeah.
And our dream was, in our town, anytime there's a parade, people get on floats and their thing is they throw out candy.
Yeah, throw
candy.
And
all the
sure.
kids, have bags and they're going out and they're getting the candy. If we could have thrown those out and the kids would get the bags and their
fuck
parents
you, you
would
fucking
look,
fuck.
A Tootsie Roll. I can't. Fuck you, you fucking fuck. Where did that come from?
I'm sure they deserve it.
But I just thought it went out to dodge it.
Yes. Well, that's a beautiful jacket, Siskita. Thank you for showing it to us. And then our final shout out this week's for Kelly.
Kelly with an I.
She says, another one of those driving texts to myself for a comment that I can remember what it meant. 746 hucklebugs to exterminate. That's right. Love you, ladies. Hope you had a nice visit, Stenny. Yes, I did, and there will be a little more on that later. Thank you guys for your shout-outs. Oh, yeah, last week's episode was called, 2 weeks ago, Darge Dot. I forgot about Darge Dot. That is the end of our shout-outs, and now we shall move on to movies. What you got for us, Ben?
Well, I have a movie, and I'm going to tell you, first of all, how I found this movie. Mm-hmm. My sister adores this movie. Taylor has talked about it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only seen snippets of it on cable from time to time and was never that hip. But yesterday, I found myself reading online something from no less a place than the New York Times.
Mm.
And it wasn't a review of the Timothy Chalamet, Bob Dylan movie.
Uh-huh.
It was just about the pitfalls of trying to make a movie about a musical icon, especially one like Bob Dylan, and the things that can happen and go good and go bad.
Right.
And this man goes in depth and he uses $10 words. It's the New York
Times. Yeah. Well, it's the New York Times.
Right.
Gotta get what you're paying for.
Right. But in the very first paragraph, he says that you need to go back to the, as he says, spot on and hilarious movie, Wild Card, the Dewey Cox
story. Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
And so my sister's always pulling a line from this movie. It stars John C. Reilly as Dewey Cox, who of course is supposed to be Johnny Cash.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, with a lot of inclusive stuff, maybe it's supposed to be Walk the Line,
Yeah. I think it came out before Walk the Line, if I'm not mistaken. Ooh, okay. But I might be mistaken. Okay. It's entirely possible.
Maybe the guy who made Walk the Line got from Dewey Cox.
Maybe he's like, this would be a good movie about Johnny Cash.
So it tells the story about this country boy who, and his rise to fame and, in the music world. I have to say, there's one thing I kind of admire about movies made like this, which, and I've mentioned this before, if you throw enough stuff on the wall, some of it's going to stick.
Right.
Some of it's not.
Kind of like the Pop-Tart movie. The Pop-Tart movie was a bit like that,
exactly,
wasn't it?
Exactly.
Not everything worked, but, you know, there were attempts.
But for me, and a lot of the things that my sister mentioned, more fell to the floor than stuck on the wall.
Yeah.
Like his, one of his bandmates, who was played by Tim Meadows, who gets him hooked on drugs.
Okay.
Every time Dewey walks into a room, Tim says, he says, "What are you doing?" "We're smoking reefer." "Smoking reefer? What's that?" "Oh, you don't want none of this. You don't want no part of this." And then he goes on to explain how great reefer is. Of course, you know,
yeah.
"We're doing amphetamines. What are
you don't want any part of this.
Right.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff gets real old real quick.
Okay.
And this movie goes all over the place. I will tell you two things, though. The funniest thing of this movie for me, and I mean, my ass was cracking up, is that, of course, Dewey finds his June Carter.
Uh-huh.
Who was played by Jenna Fisher, and we'll go there later.
Oh.
But they go out and they do a duet on the stage together. And the song is called "Let's Do It," but it's okay. And it helped that I always use closed captioning when I watch Netflix or whatever.
I do most of the time also.
Yeah, so
days.
I got to see the lyrics of this song.
Do you find, if I may interrupt you just briefly, uh-huh. Do you find that you spend more time actually reading the screen than watching the people, though?
About...
Like, I'm getting their lines before they say
more,
them because I read
more.
It. So I'm,
and if it's yeah. a comedy, then sometimes you get the joke before.
Exactly. Yeah, should. Yeah, yeah.
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 But
anyway, I'm sorry.
Let's do it. But they say, "Let's do it."
Got it.
But the lyrics to this song are, I mean, there are phrases that are sexual phrases that are so filthy. But
yes.
when you take them and put them in a different sentence, and make a song lyric out of them. They work.
And
it
you
turns
put it in
out not
sweet
to
little
be
Jenna
that.
Fisher's mouth.
You right. You have to have a filthy mind to take that song as being dirty. And it cracked me up. But in the end, it's just thumbs halfway at best. And possibly even a little bit on the downside. Here's the thing I wanted to say. This movie, Judd Apatow and Jake Kasdan. It is so filled with people you know. Of course, John C. Reilly, Tim Meadows,
Jenna Fisher.
His first wife is Kristen Wiig.
Okay.
His mother is Margot Martindale.
Oh. Famous character actress,
Martindale. I had that from Bojack Horseman.
Yes.
There's a preacher who hates rock and roll, Rance Howard, Ronnie's dad.
Oh, all right.
There is a very, very egregious storyline in this about the people who run country music and rock and roll, and they're all Jewish. So they're, and they dress as Jewish, you know.
Yeah.
So, some of the people who show up, Harold Ramis is one of them.
Phil Rosenthal. This is older than I thought.
Yeah, Phil Rosenthal is one of them. Martin Starr is in it.
Nice.
Bill Havertruck, of course.
Yes.
Chris Parnell from Saturday Night Live. Jack McBrayer. Buddy Holly is played by Frankie Muniz. From
Wow. Yeah,
He's great. He actually
That's so
is
funny.
Great.
I swear I have not seen Frankie Muniz on anything since he was on that prank show with Ashton Kutcher, which was a million years ago.
Yeah, then we got Jenna Fisher, of course.
Yeah.
Steve Banos, he was also from Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, okay.
But in my words of people who can only make a movie better, David Krumholtz,
Mm-hmm,
one of my favorite character actors ever.
Yep.
Is
it's
in
not
there.
A petty pet rooster.
Simon Helberg from Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
Jane Lynch. I mean, I could.
All right.
Oh, and playing themselves, and I'll end it there. Playing themselves, Jackson Browne, Jewel.
Nice. Good
and
get.
No less a person than Lyle Lovett.
Ooh, fantastic.
So, you know, if you stay tuned, you'll get
at
a
least
few,
you got fun people.
Right. You'll have yeah. a few you'll have a few fun times. But it's not that great a movie, people.
Okay.
Good idea. Just it could have been better.
It sounds like
but
kind of what
short.
I was expecting.
It was
oh,
short.
All right.
That's
at least
that's thankfully.
Good. Yeah. That's good. That's good. At least it wasn't 4 hours.
It was 86 minutes.
That's good. That's just under an hour and a half. That's perfect length for a comedy movie.
Considering I was thinking about watching Conclave in over 2 hours, I'm kind of glad I went with Dewey.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. That was the right call, I think. Although Conclave would have been timely. All right, I have a binge watch. This is something I had been looking forward to seeing on Netflix. It had been coming for a while, and I'd seen the trailer for it and thought, oh, that's something I definitely want to see.
Ooh.
Tina Fey's The Four Seasons, which is
oh,
based
it's
on...
it's out now?
It is, it's out.
Oh, I read the best article about that.
You may see it now. It is on Netflix. You may watch it this weekend if you wish. It's 8 episodes. They're about a half hour each. I thought they were going to be about an hour each, and I thought I was being really smart spacing it out over a few days. And then when I realized the episodes were about a half hour, I actually compacted it into just 3 days.
Oh.
It's based on the Alan Alda film from 1981.
And Alan Alda gives her a total thumbs up for this.
He was in it. He's got a very, very small part in the very first episode. He's in it himself. You know, I saw the movie The Four Seasons in 1981 when it came out. This is Alan Alda and Carol Burnett. Now, I was 11, I think, when it came out.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I know Alan Alda and Carol Burnett from television. They're very funny. You know, I want to go see that movie. So I went and saw that movie, and I was like, this movie's boring. It's about grown-ups. That was not a movie for an 11-year-old to see. So I didn't really remember the movie too much.
Was it Maggie
other than
Smith
sort of the,
also in it?
What's that?
Maggie Smith, wasn't she?
Was she in it? No, I think that's California Suite.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't think she was in The Four Seasons. Yeah, that was Rita Moreno was in the movie.
Hmm.
And some other people that I don't remember. But in the TV show, it's Tina Fey and Will Fort. Is it Fort or Forte?
I'll say Forte, but...
All right. Well, that guy.
And the musicians.
Thank you. And Steve Carell.
Oh,
and
can't go wrong there.
You really can't go wrong. And Carrie Kenney from The State and Reno 911. I'm
okay,
a big fan of hers.
Okay, I don't know her.
There's two guys who play the gay couple, and I didn't recognize either of them.
Oh, with no name.
Somebody Domingo.
Coleman Domingo.
Coleman Domingo. That's
he's
him.
Black guy. Yeah.
Yes, he's
like,
very good.
He's really popular right now.
Is he okay? Well, I can see why. He was quite his acting's quite good, and he's hot. But his his Italian husband, woo. Baby, my heart was beating for him. I loved
him. Now, who is that?
I don't know his name.
Oh.
Hang on. I'll look it up real quick. Claude. Marco Calvani.
Oh.
He is H-O-T-T hot. Okay. And then, yeah, Coleman Domingo as Danny. And then Ginny, who is Steve Carell's hot new chick, is played by Erica Henningsen. And then there's other people in it, but those are the biggies. And if you're not familiar with the original movie with Alan Alda and Carol Burnett, which
well,
Alda
might,
also wrote and directed,
I
yes?
I may not be, because I know, speaking of boring, which I thought it was, I know I'm thinking of of the other one. California
yeah, California Suite. So it's about these three couples who vacation together every year, and so we first see them in the springtime, they're going on a vacation, then we see them in the summer, they're all on vacation together, and then in the fall, and then in the winter. So it's the four seasons. And in the movie, they did the whole thing in 2 hours. And in the TV show, they have a little more time to expand, which I kind of did appreciate. We get to know everybody a little bit better. But in the very first episode in spring, oh, also Vivaldi's Four Seasons plays throughout as well. So you get to match the music up with the season, which is kind of cool. But in the first episode, Steve Carell announces that he's leaving his wife, Carrie Kenney. And then it's then the remainder of the episodes are kind of, you know, this friend group trying to figure out how their friend group works now, because, you know, they don't want to leave Carrie Kenney out. Yes. They love her too. Yes. And they're not necessarily crazy about this hot new girlfriend that Steve Carell is bringing. And, you know, and so there's a lot of different dynamics, but then everybody's also examining their own relationships and going, should we be blowing our lives up like this as well? And this is a movie that obviously when I was 11, I had no interest in, and it was very boring. But now as a grown up, even though I'm not in any relationships myself, it's interesting to watch now as a grown up, because I am a grown up.
Right.
And so, you know, I can relate to the material better. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was a very nice take. There were some things that happened. I don't remember the movie at all. So there were a few plot things that I did not see coming, and I don't know if they were in the original movie or not.
Ooh.
But I liked it a lot, and I'm going to give it a big thumbs up. I think everybody should check out the Four Seasons.
It's now out and available.
Yeah, it's quite good.
I absolutely will check it out.
Yeah, I recommend it. It's a limited series, but I think they did kind of leave it open to be a season two if necessary. So, you know, if they get enough viewers and enough people want to see a season two, I think they could do one pretty easily. So what do you got next for us, Niblet?
I have a new favorite.
And now it's time for
New favorite.
I like it.
Yay, we love those.
And my new favorite may be the very reason that we're here doing a podcast.
Okay, good.
Because, you know, folks, I have the pain. I have the pain.
Bet's got the pain. Bet's having a tough time, you guys.
I am
Send
a pain
Bet all your
when
good
I
vibes.
Talk to you about it, but I've got the pain.
No, you're not a pain at all. Send Bet your good vibes and your muscle relaxants, please.
And I discovered this because Brian, my brother-in-law.
Brian, yes.
Got a tube of it from a doctor because he hurt his hand. And when they x-rayed his hand, they said, oh, you've got some arthritis in there. So we're going to give you this. And it is a product that you were just saying, medicines that have theme songs.
Oh, yeah.
While we were talking before.
Mm-hmm, I was.
Well, this is a medicine that has a theme song. My new favorite is for something called Voltaren. If you've seen the commercial where the man rubs it on his hands and then takes his dad out in a wheelchair and they go through the wilderness. And the song is, oh, what a good time we will have.
I don't remember it. However, I did just remember the one that's been bothering me, and it's this one. Resdifra. That's the one. I hear it. It's for Resdifra, and I hear it all day, every day.
I've never heard that one.
Okay, well, then there you go. It's on Pluto TV.
Anyway, when Pat was telling me about Brian having Voltaren, I said, do you think it would work for me? And she said, well, hell, it couldn't hurt. She's so sick of me right now. she said, I will tell you, though, it's expensive. And so I went to Amazon.
But you're on the Medicare now, Bet. Might not be that expensive.
I went to Amazon. And it's like $21 a tube.
Mm.
But I went to my local drugstore and asked for Voltaren, and it was $19 a tube. So
I
bought one. And even though, you know, it is for joints, it's for arthritis.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, a medication that stops pain.
Yeah.
I've been putting it on the new pains in my life.
Yes.
The muscle in the leg and the hip.
Yeah, right.
And it has, people, please don't think I'm doing the jitterbug around here. That ain't going to happen.
I don't think anybody thinks that.
But it has helped me more than anything else has. That's all I can
say. That's good.
You know, I've used the heating pads, the stick-on things. I've used BioFreeze and Icy Hot. And all of it is just lost on me anymore.
Right. And the hemp cream that Doug sent you, right?
The hemp cream, which works better for the joints, which is more than you can ever say.
Right.
Than it does the muscles.
What a surprise.
Love you, Doug. But this has helped a bit. It's helped
That's
a bit.
That's good.
And today was a... Oh man, today was a tough day. And so I've used it twice already. And I just rub it in as hard as I can on those muscles.
Yeah.
And so I got down here and I got out and we're doing a show. So for right now, my new favorite is Voltaren.
All right. Voltaren.
And if this thing in my hip ever ends, and then now I'll start concentrating on how much my knees hurt. I'll use it on those where it's meant to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad it's giving you a little bit of relief. I know you've had a tough couple of weeks physically.
Yeah.
I'm sorry
it's
to
not
hear
been
it.
Good.
No. No. Poor bed. I'm sorry, baby.
Hey,
if I was there, I'd give you a great big old hug.
Oh, and I'd take it, but you know.
It probably wouldn't help either.
I don't want to be that person who... You never ask, hey, how are you? But you can. No. You can, because my answer is always, I'm fine.
I know. Oh, fine. All right. I have a dad recap.
Dad!
I was not here last week, obviously, because I was down visiting my dad and my sister and my brother-in-law. You know, it was a nice little weekend. It was very low stress. We didn't do anything. To be frank, it was a little boring. We didn't do anything. But we did watch a lot of sports on TV.
Well, I was
we got
say,
to see
did
the
you get some good TV.
We got to watch the Mariners win twice and one time they won 13-1. So I mean, like, that's always fun. They don't win games like that very often. So that was very enjoyable. And of course we watched the Kentucky Derby together, and my horse
won. Oh, guess
who
won the Kentucky Derby?
The horse I chose, Sovereignty, won, so that was really exciting.
Came in seventh.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that was my sister's horse also, Sandman.
Oh.
And my dad had, darn it, I don't remember, and I'm not going to go looking up the horses.
Okay.
But dad's horse didn't
win
either. Dad didn't win, and Stacy didn't win, and you didn't win, but I did. I won. And I think the horse that came in third... It was his very first race. Imagine your very first race being the Kentucky Derby, if you're a horse. Imagine being a horse. First, imagine being a horse. And then imagine that your very first professional race is the Kentucky fucking Derby, which is pretty crazy. And he came third, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Well, very quickly, Taylor,
why not?
While they were watching, they were with Pat and Brian, when they were watching the Kentucky Derby, he went online and placed a bet for you pick one and two. You could pick all three, but you could pick one and two. He won like $25 picking one and two.
Hey, good for him.
Now he has a monkey on his back.
Now, oh yeah, see, that's the problem. That's how it starts. It starts with one innocent little race.
But back
anyway,
to Dad.
Yeah, back to Dad. So there's not a whole lot of news about Dad, but I think he's looking good. He's moving pretty well.
Oh, good.
He's still using the walker. I think he'll be Dad. Poor Dad. He's like, well, nobody's talking about when I get rid of the walker, so I guess I'll be using the walker for him. I'm like, you know, Dad, you're 89, so yeah, I don't think you're going to be moving on from
not
the walker.
A thing
probably
wrong with that, Dad.
No, it's fine. It's fine. You know. This is what happens when you, if you're lucky enough to live long enough,
right.
You're going to gotta use the walker. So he's doing well with it though. And he seems quite content. And my sister is so much more relaxed than she used to be, which is also great.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was a nice, pleasant, low key, low stress visit. It was a lot of fun.
Nice.
So thumbs up. thumbs up for my my trip to Central Oregon.
Did you win anything when you won the Derby? Buy you a drink, take you out, anything?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. My sour sister grapes. And I went out to lunch together, which Mom paid for because we had Mom's credit card.
Oh.
We went to an estate sale. Somebody like around the corner from Dad had, I guess, passed away recently. So their kids or whoever are selling everything in the house. And
yeah.
We went through there, and they had actually a lot of really cool camera equipment and a few very nice lenses, but I wasn't sure the lenses would fit my camera. So I just bought a tripod because I figure a tripod would fit anything.
A tripod.
I'll need a tripod for my camera. So I bought one of those. And Stacy bought, she bought some like muffin tins and like casserole dishes, stuff like that.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, that was fun. That's the kind of thing we don't do very often. We washed my car, which was fun because that's something that she and I used to do together when we were younger, when she was out of high school and living at home. But it was after college, I think. She had her little Toyota Celica, and every Saturday we would wash her car and listen to Boston. We would listen to that Boston, that album, the eponymous album.
Oh, with
More Than a Feeling in Long Time. And
you got your car detailed, baby. Remember
that's
that?
Right. That was fun. Yeah. So we washed the car, which was a lot of fun, but then, you know, I drove it home and now it's got the corpses of a million bugs on it again, but it was nice while it lasted. Anyway, so, you know, it was a good visit. Thumbs up for a visit to Dad.
Yes.
So now we move on to fuck offs and
Fodget.
I'm going to go ahead and say it out loud this week. Fuck off, Donald Trump. You fucking fuck. You fucking fuck.
He just is randomly firing people. And I know this woman when she said, I have no idea why I was fired. I know why you were fired. He was just going through lists of things and he saw your name appointed by Barack Obama. She's gone.
Yep. Good. She's especially because she's a woman. Out you go.
Yeah.
Who rules this week, Bet?
Well, I have a you rule.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to do because I didn't have a you rule per se. I was going to do a listener at random.
Yeah.
And then I realized, no, I want to do a you rule for a listener not at random because I remember something this week that I loved. And it is for Patrick MLL.
Patrick, my little love.
That we realize still listens from time to time.
He's out there, baby.
On the day that the new Pope, the American Chicago Pope, was elected, he posted some things that I absolutely adored. One of them was, you know, when he took the oath, he said something about, and now hot dogs can never be eaten with ketchup. And then they showed a picture of him, you know, at the top of the Vatican, you know, and there was old style beers, some Chicago beer. Was the banner that was on there. And then there were the guys, a cartoon of the guys from like George Wendt and the rest of them from Saturday Night Live sitting at the rib bars. Da Pope.
Yeah, I saw that one there. There it is, Da Pope.
Just made me laugh. And, you know, he lives in the Chicago area. So
yes, he does. So
I know this meant it was his gig.
Yes,
and you did it well, Patrick.
Congratulations to our Chicago Pope, and thank you, Mr. Patrick. You do rule, our little love. I have a plethora of you rules this week. I'm going to start with my sister because, again, as usual, and several of them are people who've gotten multiple you rules before. It's just you're just all going to have to deal with it. My sister just continues to be such a great host. She goes out of her way to make sure that the house is stocked full of whatever snacks and drinks that I enjoy, you know, and I just,
your sister is my sister, baby.
It's just the best. And, you know, I think she was a little bent out of shape because I didn't want to stay at the house because there's not like, I don't have my own room there anymore, you know?
I stayed.
And usually I stay at the hotel that's at the resort, but it was full this time because some convention or something like that. So I ended up staying at a motel in town, which was even further away. And she was like, "That's so stupid. You could just stay here and sleep on the couch."
Oh,
and I was
but
like,
you do have I your alone time.
Yeah, I can't sleep on the couch, Stacey. If you're going to get up at 5 a.m. and start cooking, I can't do it. You know? Yeah. You know, and I appreciate that she gets up at 5 a.m. and starts cooking for us, of course. But I can't sleep through it. So, I mean, I appreciate it. But no, it's all right. I'll pay for a motel. But anyway, she rules. I'd also like to give a rule to my hairstylist, whose name I don't know, the lady at Great Clips, who gave me a haircut on Tuesday. It's the best haircut I've had in such a long time. So thank you for that. It's the first time I can remember in years coming home from getting my haircut and looking in the mirror and going, "That looks all right. That looks pretty good." Usually I look at it and go, "That's too fucking short, but it'll be all right in a couple of weeks." But this time I looked at it and went, "That's not bad, actually. That looks like it's pretty even. Good job." You'd think that would be simple, but no, not with me. I'd also like to give a rule to Doug, who dropped by Doug sometimes donates blood at a place right across the street from my apartment complex. And when he does, he'll do a little spin through the parking lot to see if I'm around. And I happened to be out smoking a cigarette, so he stopped and we had a cigarette together. And Doug told me my hair looks fabulous. Can I just tell everybody, the easiest way to win me over is to compliment my hair. That's my favorite thing in the world.
Oh, Doug.
I know. You can't go wrong. If you tell me my hair looks fabulous, you are a friend for life, is who you are. So thank you for that, Dougie. I appreciate it. And I'm going to throw two more in. Lincoln went to the vet today, and so I'm going to give a rule to our favorite vet again, Dr. Knowles, who did not charge us for a senior wellness exam, even though he did one. He goes, "You guys were just here a couple of weeks ago. I'm just going to put this down as a recheck." Now, I had to pay for his rabies vaccination and stuff, you know, and the office visit. But, you know, that would have been an extra $90 for the senior wellness exam, and he just wrote it off. So he's awesome. And then finally, this week, if you will indulge me, I want to give a rule to Ollie Watkins, Aston Villa's striker, who with his goal today has become officially Aston Villa's top Premier League goal scorer. He's up to 76 goals for the team in the league, which means let's put him in front of Gabby Agbonlahor, who was our previous high goal scorer. And Gabby had a very inauspicious end to his career at Aston Villa. Ooh. He stayed probably 2 or 3 years longer than he should have and was not very – and, we, you know, so he lost a lot of fans because, you know, by the end we were all like, "He's shit, get him out." So I'm glad Ollie has broken the record and now we can, you know, we can look at him as a legend.
Oh, up the Villa. How are they now? In the standings.
I think they're in sixth place.
Oh, I thought they would be way before.
It's so tight up there. It's so tight up there at the top. There's like 3 points separating the teams from third to seventh place. It's crazy. Tottenham's way down. They're not
going to
get relegated.
Okay.
However, I will say this. Tottenham are in the Europa League final against Manchester United. So one of them is going to win the Europa League.
Okay.
Tottenham is in 16th place. Way down there. But they are not in danger of being relegated, so don't worry.
Harry Kane, where are you?
He's in Munich.
I know.
He just won the Bundesliga with Bayern Munich. So well, at least he's got a trophy. All right, so those are my rules, and that is our show this week. It's a little long, but, you know, we were off last week, so it's fine.
That's right. And next week will be the Preakness.
Oh, that's right. If
Sandman's in it, I'm sticking with him.
Well, I'm for sure sticking with Sovereignty if he's in it.
I would as well.
Why wouldn't I, right? But I also, you know me, I got to check to see if there's any fillies running. I always got to go for the filly if she's there. So yeah, we'll do the Preakness next week, and this time we'll actually be recording. So we'll have a post ahead of time, and everybody can pick their horse, and it'll be fun. So until that time, we appreciate you listening to the Hucklebug, and until next time, I am Stenny,
and I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Stenny. You've been listening to the Hucklebug. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye. We love you.
Mwah.
That's the way you do it when you do the Hucklebug.
Star Trek.
Close Encounters.
Close Encounters, yeah.
Yeah, they said this was 1978, so.
Wow. Lawrence Welk went on forever, didn't it?